Married with Channels podcast. I'm Moose.
I'm Jody.
I'm the husband. She's the wife. We're talking about Game of Thrones. We'll get to some Barry in a little bit. But Game of Thrones, episode 3. I think it's 3.
Yes. Right? Yes.
It's called The Long Night. Should have been called The Battle for Winterfell, I think.
I don't pay attention to the titles, so...
It's not really... But I think when I did the... Blackwater Bay, I think that was called Battle for Blackwater Bay, maybe. Yeah, I don't know. But anyway, like, I was on the edge of my seat on this show.
You were on the edge of your seat. I had to ask if you were okay a few times because you were, like, right up there on the edge of your seat. And I thought you were going to jump out, like, jump up and down.
It was just kind of intense.
It was very intense.
It was very fraught with, and I think I thought it was good because it didn't have like, it wasn't all battle. It wasn't all fighting, you know, as we saw on the post show thing they do with the producers, writers, D.B. Weiss and David Benioff. They, you know, you can't just have swords and fighting and people jumping on top of each other, which they don't normally do, but. This episode was even better that it played to a lot of tension and a lot of buildup and a lot of anticipation. And I thought the when the Red Witch lit up the swords of the Dothraki, you know, with their little magic Lord of Light crap, it was cool. But I thought it was even cooler when you saw them off in the distance and those flames slowly get extinguished.
Just extinguished, yeah.
Just a little bit, one by one by one.
Yeah. It was like matches going out.
I know. That was so eerie. Like, oh, no.
It was. And it was so quiet and calm in the manner that that happened. And so I like, though, backing up a little bit when they start, though, when the fire starts, like, they all kind of get their rallying cry. It's like, yeah, we're going to go do this. And then to see that just kind of get squashed like that, it was like, oh, man, it kind of takes the wind out of your sail there.
I know. They essentially wiped out the Dothraki. Like, the Dothraki's are pretty much gone.
Yeah.
And so Daenerys, Dany, was a little like, oh, no.
Yeah.
My peeps. My boys.
That's my army. Yeah.
My horsemen.
Yeah. Gone. They had a lot of casualties all around, every facet of that. What was interesting is the arrival of the Red Witch. Like, do they not attack her? They were right there. Like, you could almost see the glow of them a little bit, you know, off in the distance. It's kind of foggy and hazy, and then all of a sudden she comes riding out of there.
Oh, yeah. Like, the Dothraki should have attacked the Red Witch?
Well, I don't know if... I mean, maybe they saw it was someone on a horse, but why aren't the dead attacking her? Because she's a witch?
She must have come... Like, they were maybe north of Winterfell? Maybe she came from west?
Okay, gotcha.
I know, I don't know.
Okay.
But she actually did more good than I thought she would.
Yeah.
I mean, her lighting up the trench there was, you know, helpful.
Okay, but she took her sweet-ass time doing that. I was like, I get it, you got to say the spell a few times, but her walking out there and, like, I get it, they had to provide a kind of a bubble of protection for her. Grey Worm's army, the Unsullied, they kind of had to make a barrier, but she just kind of... slowly saunters out there to do her thing. And I'm like, move, woman, go.
Yeah, she was a little... I got the impression that she was maybe frightful. She was scared a little bit.
Huh.
And maybe that's what... Maybe that's why it took forever for her to actually light it. Because she said that thing about... seemed like 8 times.
Yeah.
Before it actually lit up. But, yeah, no, she did some good. She helped out.
Yeah.
And what else? I thought the dragon stuff was a little weird and almost boring.
Yeah.
I don't know. I couldn't. This was a big complaint, is it was very dark And we've heard that before with Game of Thrones episodes, especially the battle ones, but this one more so.
Sure.
And it didn't help that it was dark, and oddly, I couldn't tell whose dragon was doing what.
Same.
I mean, occasionally you saw the blue of Big Blue.
Same, yeah. Yeah, that part was kind of confusing, and I just kind of put up with it till it was done.
Yeah, cause... it's like, okay, we got our dragon stuff. Yeah. Good, great. Yeah. And also I thought that one of the good dragons had, I saw that the bad dragon,
yeah,
like dug its claws into the other one.
Yeah.
Something good.
That John was riding?
I think it was John's. I couldn't tell.
Because
then didn't
he kind
John's
of like
Danny's.
Crash and burn to the, down to the ground?
Yeah, they did. Kind of, but it was kind of a methodical crash landing. It wasn't like, oh, I'm limp and dead-ish.
Okay.
And that's another thing is like, well, what happened to that dragon? We never heard anything from that dragon anymore. Danny's dragon came up. After it was all said and done. It was like, oh, mama, you okay?
Yeah.
But we didn't hear anything or see anything of John's.
I don't know. John himself, like he was going to go face the Night King. They looked at each other. They had kind of a showdown there.
Yeah, and then he brought some dead people back to
and then he couldn't,
white status.
Yeah, he couldn't get to him. So
why wouldn't you just haul ass? Like, you see him, just book it. You know that he does that. You know, you're in a field of dead people, and there's the guy who literally raises the dead, and he doesn't see you. Haul ass. Get that sword in a point like a joust and get ready to slice up some frosty douche.
Sure. Maybe he's just trying to engage him and pull him off Bran, which is where he knows he's headed.
But he wasn't even close to Bran.
True.
I mean, you had a moment there. It's kind of like in The Walking Dead, and those moments where people had a shot to kill Negan, but they don't. It's you know, it's just kind of like it serves a dramatic purpose.
Sure.
To not have Jon haul ass sprint towards the Night King while he's not looking and cut his head off / stick him.
Yeah.
With the pointy end.
Yeah, like now is not the time for a sneak attack, stealth mode kill. Just go up and slash him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know that. But I think you kind of don't want John to be the hero, you know? Like, he's always kind of saving the day, you know?
Yeah, it's too easy for John to be the one that kills the Night King.
Yeah.
And I like how they kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? Anyway, they didn't go with what you kind of were expecting.
Right.
And they made it the Arya show.
Arya for the win.
Arya for the win. Good call when that happened.
Yeah.
That was, I think, like you, everybody, when Arya appears over his shoulder and you're like, yeah. And then he turns and grabs her by the neck. You're like, no.
I know.
And then all of a sudden the knife drops in their other hand. She sticks him. He explodes. Everybody explodes.
Yeah.
The dead drop actually to death.
You know, and up until that point, and this was maybe something I was going to add at the end, but, you know, you're watching these favorite characters. And I don't know about you, but during the battle, I just kept like scanning, like, okay, who do I see there? Who do I see here? Who do I see there? Who's still alive? Who's not alive? You know? And almost pretty much everybody made it out. And so when you see him grab Arya, you think, oh no, that's going to be the devastating loss that I'm going to feel this week, you know?
You know that there's some people, and they're like probably dude bro frat assholes, who are pissed that Jon Snow didn't kill the Night King.
Oh, jeez.
Like, they have a real problem that Arya was the one who did it.
Why?
I don't know.
It makes sense.
Because they're fucking mouth breathers.
It makes sense because he's brave and he's knightly and he's totally worthy of and capable probably of doing that. But she is like the killer, the killing machine. That, like, even as a little girl, she wanted to fight. She is a fighter, and that's all she knows how to do now. That her whole life has been training her for this purpose.
She easily is one of the best, if not the, she's probably top three fighters in that show.
She's probably top. I mean, she beat Brienne.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no, and it's funny, that fight where they kind of sparred in the Winterfell courtyard, there was an allusion to the Night King's stab where, you know, she had her sword or dagger, and she kind of went at Brienne. Brienne grabbed that hand, and she flipped it, like within a heartbeat, to her other hand and put it up to Brienne's neck. So that
Which
was kind of
pretty much what she did there. That's awesome.
No, it totally was. And then there was, and getting into the Arya mystique.
Yeah.
I wish I'd remember this stuff, but no, because it was like four seasons ago.
Sure.
When the Red Witch got Gendry.
Yeah.
From the Lords of the Light. You know, remember the Hound met up with them and they had the fight. Anyway, so she grabbed Gendry, and then she looked at Arya and grabbed Arya's face and said, "I see darkness in you."
Yeah, and I read about this.
And I see, and she pointed out, like, you're something about brown eyes, blue eyes, and green eyes are going to be extinguished forever.
Huh.
And so the thinking is that the brown eyes were Walder Frey, the blue eyes were the Night King, and the green eyes are going to be Cersei.
Huh, interesting theory.
I thought that was there. I mean, God, you could do a whole podcast on Game of Thrones theories alone.
Yeah, that's crazy. And, yeah, I don't remember a lot of that stuff later, you know, four seasons later.
No, who does?
Yeah, I did. I love the line, though, where she said, "What do we say to the God of Death? Not today."
Yeah.
Like, that is my favorite. Like, not today.
That was Silvio Farrell. Her sparring instructor taught her that. And I'm saying that like I remember that. That's just because I read up on it.
Got it.
So.
Got it.
But yeah, Arya's a badass. And I love that she was the one that killed the Night King. Just because, A, it subverted expectations. That's the word I was looking for.
Yeah.
And B, I love Arya's journey as far as, you know, a little girl who... I remember I just saw the scene where Joffrey, you know, knocked her down and put the fake sword to her throat. You know, they were just kids messing around.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and here she is. She's seen her dad get head cut off. She knew her mom got killed and her brothers and, you know, and she's trained and lived a tough life.
Yeah.
And she's a certified badass killing machine.
It was interesting. About the time of the battle, shortly after retreat, you know, they kind of realized, like, this is not going well. This is not going the way that we had hoped. And they kind of start retreating. And that includes the key players. And so it was interesting to see Arya running through the castles so scared. Because it seemed like... You know, in the episode leading up to this, that she's fearless. She's not afraid of anything or anybody. And, you know, but to see her kind of fleeing and almost really fearful, that was interesting because it was kind of unexpected for me to see her scared like that.
Yeah.
And then it was very intense, her hiding in the bookshelves there.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I couldn't breathe. I was like, I got to remember to breathe. I'm holding my breath as she's hiding.
Yeah, she was, I think, you know, she whacked her head pretty good. I'm wondering how much that had factored into it. And I don't know. It's I tend to think that that was a wholly unique situation that she could not have prepared for. You know, being the only thing she had prepared was the training of, like, you know, following the cats when she was doing her sparring work, you know, trying to be light as a feather.
Well, and some
she's just kind of gliding around.
And didn't she
stack to stack?
She had to kind of hide in plain sight and do that for the mini face god, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like some of that training came into play here. In fact, when she was hiding in those bookshelves, that's kind of what it reminded me of, what it looked like is when she was training there.
Mm, yeah.
And doing some of that hiding and stuff.
Definitely. And speaking of her, and you made me think of, eventually she got through that and ended up with the Red Witch and the Hound.
Yeah.
And I was thinking the Red Witch was going to be the Jakar, you know, the faceless...
Oh. Yeah.
I forget what his title is, but
the many-faced god.
guy, anyway. Yeah. I don't think he's the god.
Well, what are the... So he's just like a person like Arya?
I think so. He's just kind of like, he's probably like the, you know, the seasoned veteran of that whole sect.
Okay.
Belief / system.
Okay.
But he, that wasn't him. Can we talk about the Hound and his PTSD?
Yeah.
And how bad that motherfucker needs some therapy?
Yeah, that was kind of surprising, too, when you start to see some of those characters that have been fighting and aren't afraid to do that. When you see them kind of cowering and getting scared like that, you think, this is not going to end well. This whole thing, lots of people are going to die. What was interesting about that is I loved when then he sees Arya kicking butt and what's the other guy's name? Beric?
Beric Dondarrion, the eye patch guy.
Yeah,
the flaming sword.
What didn't he say? Like, oh, the Hound said something like, "Oh, we might as well give up," and he was like, "Tell her that."
Yeah, yeah.
And she's like leaping around and doing all kinds of crazy stuff, and that really kind of helped pull him through. I think the fact that, here's this little girl who's been in my life. Still kicking butt. I can do this too. You know?
Yeah. Or maybe he, you know, because Beric, I think that's his name.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's the Lord, the Lords of the Light. He's the guy who's been resurrected like six mm-hmm. times or something.
Mm-hmm.
But he might have, maybe the Hound took his word for it, took a deeper meaning, like tell her that.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, that maybe that signified to the Hound that she is, you know, more than just somebody who's tough and is still fighting.
Hmm.
But maybe it is just more tapped into the Hound's maybe kind of connection with Arya.
Mm-hmm.
But that guy, the Hound, you know, you'd forget that on the Blackwater Bay battle,
mm-hmm.
he was, you know, he was like the King's protector at that point.
Okay.
And shit was going really bad.
Yeah.
And he essentially ditched, remember?
Did.
He was like, fuck the king.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So I don't want to say the Hound's a coward.
Yeah.
But he's not unaware of self-preservation, that's for sure.
Well.
And he loves some chickens.
Also, speaking of PTSD, what's going on with Sam?
Samwell Tarly?
Yeah, so obviously he's nervous going in. You know, he's like shaking and he's all jittery as they're... I mean, it opens the episode following him through everybody's path, like as they're all getting ready, and then he joins the lines, and then that tension's kind of broken by that funny humor, which you sometimes don't like, where he's like, took you long enough. But he really... kind of disappointed me in the battle area because it's like he got shell-shocked or something. And I'm like, hasn't he killed walkers before? What's going on here?
You know, we talked about this before, and he did kill that White Walker that one time. But Sam's not a warrior.
No.
He's not a fighter in any way.
No, I get that.
And if I remember that White Walker kill correctly, it was kind of like an oopsies, I stabbed you almost sort of thing.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't like, come here, you son of a bitch.
Like, he's going to
die. Not on my watch.
It was either kill or be killed type situation.
I think so. I'd have to go back and look at that.
Okay.
I don't think there's any big swelling of courage when
he
did that.
I wasn't expecting him to, like, charge forward with a sword or anything, but he just was visibly, like, shell-shocked the whole time. In fact, that other guy was just kind of, like, carrying him through battle with him almost.
Dolorosa?
Yeah, sure. I don't know
his
name.
The Night's Watch guy?
Yes.
One of the
three
amigos?
Yeah, he gets stabbed in the eye later. Doesn't he get stabbed in the eye?
I don't think so.
During the battle? You sure?
Oh, he got stuck from behind.
Oh.
Because he just helped Samwell.
Okay.
And then somebody stuck him and that killed him. Then later on he got blue-eyed, you know, and the Night King did his raise the dead thing.
Yep. Oh, and I called it on the crypt. Dead people rising in the crypt.
I thought that would be more of a thing.
Yeah, okay, so let's talk about the crypt. Sansa and Tyrion?
Yeah.
I was a little disappointed there too. Like, I get it. Like, she's supposed to be down there, and they're both like the brains of the operation. They're not warriors either. I understand that. But when you hear how badly it's going, and then when it's happening right there, and you just kind of hide behind a tomb, like, I was kind of disappointed in that.
Yeah, like, I was too, a little bit. Like, why are you guys hiding back there?
And I couldn't tell if, like, you know, they're like kissing each other's hands. It's like, is that a goodbye? Because they might not make it through this. And if so, why wouldn't you go and fight? You know, why wouldn't you fight? And or if it was just like, I know you feel bad because we can't do anything, but you have to stay here and stay calm, you know?
Maybe it's because I said earlier in the episode, maybe it was Sansa who said that Tyrion is, we need your brain, you know, yeah. We need you, you're smart.
Yeah.
We can't risk you in battle.
Yeah.
So maybe it's tied into that where it's like, okay, if S hits the fan, you got to hide Tyrion.
Well, I kind of understand it, but when it's happening right down there in the crypt where they are, like, I thought maybe they would get in on the action of killing walkers as well, but they just kind of hid behind the tomb, and mm-hmm. I think that's kind of cooled my thoughts on Sansa a little bit. Like, I don't want to say it's cowardly, but there are literally women and children screaming around you. These are your people, and you're just hiding.
Yeah. No, I get it. I agree. I don't know. I don't really know the reasoning there.
Yeah. I feel like that's going to be used against her. She didn't fight, you know?
I don't know.
Maybe if push comes to shove between, like, her and Danny, that might be used against her.
Maybe.
Like, maybe. I should be queen because I fought and you did not. You know,
yeah, no, she, she's got one up on Sansa on that.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
But the Samwell should have been in the tomb. He should have been in the crypt. I don't know why he was out there.
I don't know either. I thought, oh, he's going to go, you know, kill some walkers.
Yeah.
Cool.
But I thought the crypt thing would be more of a bigger deal. And maybe it was, but they edited it out and.
I don't know.
Maybe it was because I was kind of fanboy looking for some headless Ned Stark attacking people and Lady Stoneheart / Catelyn Stark, you know, reanimated.
Sure.
But that didn't happen.
Also, here's something else that bothered me about the episode. Not that we're tearing it apart and picking at it, but in the beginning when everyone's like, battle, rah, you know, like, charge forward. And there's Ghost, the direwolf, charging forward right along with the army. And then you don't see him the rest of the time. Like, what is the dog going to do?
What happened to Ghost?
Yeah.
He's not a dog. He's a wolf.
Well,
okay.
You know what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I don't know.
He has no ability to kill them, correct?
I mean, he could, like he could kill any human, jump up and, like, grab their, bite their head off, grab them by the neck, you know?
I don't know.
I mean, how does a wolf kill a human? Same thing for, I would imagine, a zombie.
Wouldn't they kill the dog?
Probably.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So did the dog die? I was worried.
I don't know.
Okay.
That's one of those things that the internet will probably do a couple think pieces on. Here's what really happened to Ghost in the Battle of Winterfell.
Well, and I did, like, during the battle, I kept scanning, and then at one shot you get, like, Brienne's white hair, and you're like, oh, okay, there she is.
Oh,
that looks like a muddy Jamie. There they are, you know, and they're doing okay. They're holding their own, you know.
I'm really surprised nobody died. Obviously, Jorah Mormont died.
Yeah.
Lyanna Mormont.
Yes.
Bad night for the Mormont family.
But what an awesome way for that little girl to go out. That was amazing, killing the giant walker.
Oh, yeah.
That was so great.
Yeah, everybody loved that little girl.
Yeah.
And her death was not in vain.
Yeah.
Because she had essentially crushed her.
Yeah. He, like, comes along and just smacks her, and you can hear her scream as she goes flying.
She goes, ah!
Yeah.
And then later he's just like, you're my little doll.
Yeah. He just, like, picks her up and squeezes her. And,
yeah.
But she gets him. That was so good.
Yeah.
So
it was
great.
It was. I'm glad we didn't see much more of it, but it was sad to see her reanimated from the Night King.
Yeah.
Like, oh, no.
I know, right?
But that was the last we saw of her.
Yeah. So. I don't think I could handle seeing a kid walker, like, up, moving around, destroying people.
I wouldn't want to see her doing the scream like the one kid did in episode one of this season when he was stuck against the wall and the limbs. Yeah.
Yeah. And Theon is gone.
Yeah.
I love that moment where Bran kind of, you know, like exonerated him, like, you're a good man, Theon. And that, you know, his purpose was to be there at that time to probably buy enough time for Arya to get there and do what she needed to do.
But he could have bought more time if he just stood there.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that bothered you, the charging of...
Why are you charging at him?
Well, I think he felt like that's what you do. You be brave, you run at it straight forward, and you do the best that you can.
Right. But it'd be braver to step forward a few paces, get that spear ready, and when that son of a bitch comes closer, then you stick him.
Go down with a fight.
Yeah. Maybe he was trying to get enough momentum to actually get the puncture with the spear good.
Maybe he was still trying to keep him away from Bran. If he had gotten closer in a fight, had he drawn a sword and they started fighting and stuff, he might have just killed Bran.
Yeah. But, you know, it's still courageous, I guess.
I felt like not enough people died. I was waiting for more major players, which means that's yet to come.
The episode before, where they're around the fireplace drinking, I thought, what was there, six people there?
Yeah.
I thought at least half would die.
Yeah.
I thought Brienne was toast.
Yeah.
Probably Jaime.
Yeah.
Sir Davos.
Yeah.
Podrick for sure.
Sure.
You know, but he started, especially when he started singing the song.
Yep.
Oh, Jenny.
Yeah.
Oh, titties. But, yeah, I thought there'd be more deaths, too.
Yeah.
I think I even mentioned it's like, get ready for the emotional wallop of this battle.
Yeah.
But, you know, a couple people died, one or two that we actually cared about.
Yeah.
Can we talk about Bran? Where the fuck was Bran?
Okay, that bothered me, too.
He warged into the ravens.
Yes.
And they went and found the Night King.
Yeah,
and then
flying along with the dragon there.
So then that's it.
And then that's it, yeah. And I'm then, like, you're so helpful.
What are you doing? You're sitting there and you're like taking a nap. I mean, are you
playing
with the ravens? You doing like a little video game thing with them?
I don't know.
Ooh, I'm going to make them go through the lights now.
Yeah, that bothered
trees.
Me too. Like,
oh, they're going to poop on that giant now. Ooh.
Yeah, what is the point of that? Other than maybe that's how the Night King finds him, is that he's under that. So the Night King can find him and come to him.
Maybe.
That he was supposed to be the bait. So
that
I'm
makes
guessing
sense.
That because I wasn't there a shot showing like the birds flying back to the tree?
I don't remember.
Okay. I don't either. I was paying attention to other things, but
we can say for certainty Bran is not the Night King.
No, he is not.
But see, I thought the Night King knew where to get him because he touched him. Remember when Bran went back?
I think that means he can connect with him whenever he is the, like, he can find him whenever he is the three-eyed raven, you know? I think that's what that means.
All right.
Yeah.
So, let's see, anything else from this episode? What do you got in your notes?
I think we covered everything in the notes already, but should we do who the heck is that guy? Did you have a favorite?
Were you
extra?
Highlight an extra?
Yeah.
Who the heck is that guy? I'm gonna say, I'm gonna say just the main Dothraki guy.
Yeah, who got his sword lit on
no,
fire?
No, that was somebody else.
Okay.
This is gonna be sound Dothrakiest. But I'm not, but they all kind of look the same.
Okay.
They got those dark ponytails and the goatees. But the main guy, you know, he was Khal Drogo's number two from back in the day. I think that's who that. Anyway, he died, and then they showed him as a white. Later on in the episode.
Yeah.
So just kind of him. Yeah. He's not really like an extra. He's a kind of, what, a second, third tier.
Sure. I'll give you character. That one, though. Cause...
Yeah, I couldn't really think of any
extras
that jump out.
So mine is the Dothraki soldier who Melisandre lit his sword.
Oh, okay.
Because his face was so great. It was almost like a caveman, like, ooh. And then he led, like, the... Yeah, kick ass, you know, like, that's awesome.
I don't remember the Dothraki really going, woo, let's do this.
Once the fires on their swords started spreading, they all started kind of yelling and getting excited for battle.
Okay, I don't remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like I said, intense episode. I thought it was really well done. I'm surprised that some people, and this is a few Facebook comments, said that it was boring.
Really?
Which I don't understand. Even our friend Ryan was like, you know? I'm like, really?
I didn't get boring from that. I was all over the map, like forgetting to breathe. You're on the edge of your seat.
Yeah, just when you think you know somebody.
I know, right? Maybe he just, I don't know.
But I'd like to toot my own horn by saying I called it.
Yeah.
The fight with the Night King would be like episode 3 or 4. And then the main stuff's going to be King's Landing, Cersei, the Golden Army.
All right. Let's look forward a little bit. What do you think's going to happen?
Good question. Like, is Cersei, the Golden Army, are they coming to Winterfell? And what the hell are they going to do? They probably lost, you know, conservatively at Winterfell, half their people.
Right.
If not more.
Here's what I think's happening. And I might have read too much into a preview, but I think it's going to be Dany that pushes them to go and attack. I think most of them will feel the same way. Like, we're not ready. We've lost a lot of people. Like, we have no business doing this. Why are you pushing us in that direction? And I think that she'll get what she wants, ultimately, because of Jon. And they will go to war, and it will be bad, and people we love and care about will die.
Yeah, there's still some good people who are going to die before this show's over.
Yeah.
I don't know how that's going to go. Is Cersei going to take the battle to them, or, you know, vice versa? If she's smart, she'd stay where the hell she's at.
Because she doesn't even know that this... has ended yet, right? Or does she have like spies that would go back and tell her that they've won? And
I don't know. They all seem to kind of know. They all seem to find out when something happens. Remember, episode 1, Kieran, her Meister, came to her when she was staring out into the ocean, said, the dead have broken through the wall.
Oh, yeah.
And she said, great, or something like that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they have ways of knowing.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is.
Little messenger spies.
Or, yeah, something.
Huh.
But, I don't know. It's going to get probably more brutal when they fight Cersei and King's Landing and all that. I'm looking forward to the Mountain versus the Hound. I'm curious to see how that'll go.
You think that'll happen?
Oh, it's got to.
Yeah.
There's got to be something there.
Huh.
There's got to be some payoff with...
I think he's going to die. I think the Hound's going to die. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Mountain is like Frankenstein now. He's like reanimated, but weird and different.
He can still die. I think somebody will kill the Mountain.
Oh, yeah. It'll probably be Arya.
Maybe. Like, maybe the Mountain kills the Hound and Arya kills the Mountain because she loves her some Hound.
Mm-hmm.
We'll find out next week, and we'll talk about it here on Married with Channels. You want to talk about Barry?
Sure.
Barry episode 4 or 5. It's the title of Ronnie/Lily.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of, it's one of those episodes where it's kind of like a long shot, the whole episode.
Yeah.
It starts with the, this character we've never seen or met before showing up at his house. Lighting a joint. He seems, by all accounts, very casual, to say the least.
Yeah.
And it turns out that's the guy that Detective Loesch wants Barry to kill. The guy who's stooping his wife, soon to be ex-wife.
Yeah.
So, from there, it just gets crazier and crazier. The guy's a Taekwondo expert. And
yeah. Well, and Barry tries to not do the hit. Like
the whole time he's trying not to do the hit.
He's trying not to kill this person.
He's going out of his way to convince the guy,
yeah,
look, I don't want to kill you.
Yes.
Please stop.
Yeah, what was...
You've hurt yourself.
That shot where he backs into that next room and it's full of martial arts trophies and medals. It was just like, oh, that's why this guy's not afraid.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The guy is so chill.
Yeah.
And he just smoked a doober. Yeah, the that was an interesting episode for
it
sure.
It was. There's some stuff about it I don't like either. Like,
is it the daughter?
The feral child daughter.
That
was a little
out much.
There, almost like, is she? Are you kind of inferring that she's supernatural or that she's inhuman? Like they kept saying that, but then she, it was just so weird and odd. And
yeah, sometimes the show takes things to where they should be at like a 6 and they take them to about an 8.5, 9.
Yeah.
Just enough to where it's like, but you're not like, oh, come on.
Yeah. No, I was like, oh, come on. That didn't quite work for me.
Yeah. But, you know, and I think I mentioned this to you, maybe the reasoning there is, you know, she walks in, it's a normal day by all accounts, just got back from Taekwondo practice, you know, hey dad, what's for lunch?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, my dad is dead on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe she snapped and reverted to some sort of feral, instinctual, animalistic behavior.
I don't know. It was just so bizarre.
It was a little bit bizarre. Did she didn't say any words, right? She didn't speak.
No, she screamed that weird scream at the end.
Which they put an effect on her voice.
Yeah.
Like they put a little echo / reverb to give it that kind of monstery type of vibe.
Yeah,
it wasn't
like demon.
It wasn't too much.
It was for me.
Yeah. I mean, I could definitely see where you...
I mean, I'm a mom and I've heard my kids scream. And sometimes you think that they sound like feral demons. But...
Yeah, but you're being figurative. This was more literal. Like
yeah.
She sounded like a feral demon.
Yeah.
Which is kids, the name of a great punk band.
Kids don't really... do that.
No. The show this season has gotten I don't want to say a little absurd,
mm-hmm.
but they're definitely flirting with the envelope of what's the realism versus kind of sensationalism, fantasy, absurdism.
Well, it's kind of like, you're doing a good job, guys. Now, oh, we're doing a good job. We got a hit show. Oh, we can kind of play around and do whatever we want. Nah, you got to kind of stay true to it for me. Like, you can take that down different avenues, but when you're kind of meddling in almost science fiction for a show like this, it just doesn't work for me. So,
yeah, I'm not out of the show, but it definitely makes me think. And you could argue that maybe that is taking me out of it if I'm thinking about that stuff and not kind of still in the show. But I do like how the episode kind of bounced around with expectations and you know, like Ronnie, the guy, he's not dead.
Yeah.
He shows that he's there at the grocery store.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's got the neck brace on. And at first, Barry walks in. He's got the hood up. And he's got that blood stain around his mouth from his nose that when he came in the store, I was like, oh, God, he looks obvious. You're going to draw so much attention.
Yes.
But when it all played out, it's kind of like, well, that might be to his advantage because the security camera will see a guy with a hoodie on and a goatee.
Yeah, it looked like a goatee to me.
Again, they'll have a picture of Barry, much like in the first season, but they won't be able to identify him.
Sure.
So, I mean, luck?
Yeah, I guess. I found the stuff with Fuchs interesting, like when Barry is kind of running a court low on blood and he's kind of in and out of consciousness and he kind of envisions Fuchs and he's all dressed nice in a suit and stuff. And then he kind of later after the grocery store incident is walking towards the car and he kind of imagines Fuchs like come on, get in.
Yeah, he did that same look that he did when he was dreaming.
Yeah, it was
in
like,
the desert.
He's kind of like the devil tempting him. Like, yeah, just come on, get in the car. Yeah. You know, come with me to this life again. And yeah,
I feel sorry for Barry in that regard.
Yeah,
I mean, based on that dream, everybody was coming home to loved ones, and he came home to some guy in a cheap suit giving him a devil wink, you know?
Yep. Yeah, and I'm sure Barry, you know, he wants to get out of that life, and I think he's realizing that Fuchs just keeps pulling him back in.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting because you didn't see any of the acting class or any of those characters in this episode at all.
It was purely this
storyline with him doing this hit for the cop. And the twist at the end for me is now that police officer is now shot and dead too.
Oh yeah. No, Ronnie kicked him. Remember he did that roundhouse kick and snapped his neck
or
something.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, because
Ronnie got shot. Yeah.
Yeah, Ronnie got filled up with lead.
Gotcha. But yeah, it was interesting. Now there's two dead cops, like.
Yeah. Moss and Fuchs now.
Yeah.
And so that kind of, you know, kind of bubbly, weird lady detective, we'll probably see more of her.
Yeah.
She'll probably have to try and solve the Fuchs thing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, it was a good episode. A little weird. A couple moments where it's like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, the feral child bothered me.
Yeah.
It was bordering science fiction.
Yeah, but it's still a good show.
Still enjoyed Barry. Yeah, the humor. Oh, my gosh. When they're fighting in the van driving around looking for the little girl. And then Fuchs gets back in the van and he's like, she's not human. She's not human.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, I tried to tell you. That was funny.
I love that she latched on to Fuchs' cheek.
Oh, that was so funny. He's like, shoot her off my face. And Bear's like, I won't do that. I can't do that.
Well, you got anything else?
Oh, no. It's just stay true to the formula there, Barry. Don't go all science fiction on me.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if there's some more kind of outlandish, borderline unbelievable stuff.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's going to do it for us for the Married with Channels podcast. Married couple talking to their favorite TV shows and some of the bigger TV shows. We should hit up Killing Eve.
Ah, we need to watch it.
Yes, we do.
Life with children. Just no time for TV.
I'm the husband, Moose.
I'm the wife, Jody.
And we'll talk to you next time.
Bye.